I hate that, like, when people talk about herpes, the first thing they hear is that, like, it sucks and I was so sad and I was depressed. Like, I want the first thing people to hear is, like, no, this changed my life for the better.
Welcome back to Other People's Lives. I'm Joe Santagato.
I'm Greg Dybeck.
For anyone out there that would like to be a guest on the show, don't hesitate to reach out to us. You can reach us at our website, oplshow.com, or just send us an email directly at oplpodcast@gmail.com.
And just a reminder that if you want to join our Patreon, it's just $5 a month. You get weekly bonus episodes, and you get to be part of our Helping Other People initiative, where each month we pick a charity or charitable donation to give part of the Patreon funds to. So you can check that out at patreon.com/OPL show. Now, today, just want to give a quick note about today's episode, actually. If you've listened to the podcast from the start, you'll know that we covered the topic of herpes a long, long time ago. The guest was super informative, did a great job telling her story, but we have received a few emails over the years saying there may have been some misinformation around the topic. So we figured that since our audience has grown so much, since we've added new platforms like YouTube, we want to just recover this super interesting, super honest and raw topic of living with herpes. And we can't think of a better guest than the woman we have on today. Her name is Sarah. She hosts a podcast called Positively Positive Podcast about her journey with herpes, as well as all around sexual health and empowerment. So Sarah, thanks for being on the show today.
Thank you guys for having me. Yeah, I've been listening and watching for a long time. I'm excited.
Awesome. So then, you know, we kind of jump right into this, and I think the best place to start is just with your personal journey. And I guess that moment that, to be completely honest, a lot of people fear and kind of hope never happens to them. And that's that moment that you received the news that you had herpes. Can you just kind of walk us through how you got that news and how you were feeling?
Yeah. Okay. So I'm 29 now. I got herpes when I was 27. And I'll never actually forget the words that my doctor said to me. She like looked, my legs are up on the table, and she's like, okay, this does look consistent with herpes. And that's the sentence that I'll never forget. At first, yeah, it sucks. But I hate that, like, when people talk about herpes, the first thing they hear is that, like, it sucks and I was so sad and I was depressed. Like, I want the first thing people to hear is, like, no, this changed my life for the better. It improved my sex life, my communication, my romantic and my platonic relationships, among many other things. It's literally one of the best things that's ever happened to me. And that's, like, the first thing I want people to know. But going backwards, yeah, it fucking sucked.
So originally, you know, you get the news and, you know, I'm assuming it's upsetting. Did you know exactly, like, you know, who it was, and how did you kind of go about, you know, informing, you know, maybe past partners or the partner that you, like, definitely know who it came from, that you had this diagnosis?
Yeah, so I got it the first time that I had unprotected sex in about 5 or 6 years. It was with a partner that I'd already been sleeping with. This wasn't someone new. It wasn't a one-night stand, which I think is important to highlight, because herpes does not discriminate. You can get it from a one-night stand, but you can also get it from a regular partner and from someone you've been monogamous with for 5 or 10 years. I had symptoms about a week after we'd had sex, and I was, like, frantically Googling. I was like, okay, I know something's wrong. Like, it burns when I pee. This, like, I can't really, like, walk comfortably. So I was going back and forth on Google, convincing myself I had herpes, or, like, no, it was just a really bad yeast infection or a really bad UTI. And then I finally got into the doctors, and they said that, and then they called back with lab results a week later. And I had only been sleeping with that one person, and I was like, okay, first time unprotected sex in this long, and now I have symptoms. It came from this person. Because there's, like, a window period. They say it's, like, 2 to 14 days between contracting and having symptoms, and that's exactly what happened to me. And by the time the nurse had called me back with my lab results, I'd had a whole week to do, like, my own research and, like, try and understand it as best I could, because I knew I had to tell this guy. And in my head, I was like, I just didn't have the emotional capacity at that time to think that he knew he had it and knowingly had unprotected sex with me. I could not get to that place until like 3 months later. So in my head, I was like, he didn't know. Everything I'm reading says most people are asymptomatic, so he didn't know. I'm just going to tell him that I have this now and suggest that he go get tested. We had a phone call about it, and he was actually like so amazing and so calm and so mature. And I was like, it's okay. He didn't know. And now in retrospect, I'm like, I don't know for sure, but I'm pretty sure he was so calm because he already knew. Oof. And that's not something that I can prove. It's not something I'll ever be able to prove. And I'm not bitter about that. I actually I feel bad for him if he's still living in a place of like shame and stigma where he can't be open about it. Like I genuinely feel bad, and I hope that he does find the tools someday, but I don't have enough energy to be bitter about it.
Yeah. So I'm curious, in that moment, you're obviously doing a lot of research. You find this out for sure from your doctor, you know, completely hooked us with what you said in the opening, which we'll get to, of how this has made your sex life better and how it's one of the best things that has ever happened to you. But in that moment, do you remember what some of your biggest misconceptions were as someone just kind of freshly getting this news?
Oh yeah. The first misconception is that I thought I had been tested for herpes. I thought that when you get STI testing and you insist that I want to be tested for everything, give me the full gamut, you are not being tested for herpes.
Really?
Urine does not test for herpes. Urine tests for chlamydia and gonorrhea, and blood tests are most commonly for HIV, hepatitis, and syphilis. They don't test you for herpes unless you have an active outbreak. So that, and like the fact that I didn't know that, I was pissed off. I was like, I thought I was doing everything right. I got tested. You know, I tried to talk to partners about sexual health, but like, I'm clean. Are you clean? Yeah, great. That's not a conversation that leaves any room for conversation or openness. And like that word clean, imagine you ask someone, are you clean? And they do have an STI. It's like, well, now they feel like shit. Mm-hmm. And like, yeah. I am clean. Like, I shower, I'm hygienic, and I know how to take care of my body. The only people that are dirty are people that don't shower. Like, it's just an inaccurate word.
Mm-hmm. So I'm sorry, just to clarify what you were saying, you can only get tested for herpes if you have an active flare-up?
Yes. So there, and that is a swab test, and it'll test for actual DNA in the sore. Now, technically, there is a blood test for herpes, but that test isn't included, and it's not recommended by doctors or the CDC, as the herpes blood test is time sensitive, and the medical community's view is that the stigma is worse than the actual virus. So why would they waste money on testing when it's so time sensitive, and it'll, like, it can make people emotionally like unstable if they get the news. So I have mixed opinions about that, because it perpetuates this circle of transmission where it's like, well, people right. don't need to know. And it's like, well, if they don't know, then how are we ever going to stop the spread of this?
Right.
Especially if they're asymptomatic.
Yeah,
exactly. And most people are asymptomatic, and that is how transmission occurs. Like, not all the time, but like, that's the most, like the highest place that transmission occurs is between people who don't know they carry it. Because people who are open and honest about their status, and they're going to communicate with you if they have an outbreak, they know how to take care of their body. Those are people that are less likely to spread it.
Hmm. And, you know, I thought it was interesting, you know, earlier in the episode, I think everyone would find it interesting that you had said that this is actually one of the best things that had happened to you, and you rattled off different parts of your life that had sort of improved. And I'm just wondering, you know, before getting to that, you know, initially you have the news and it's a downer and you're kind of like, shit, like now I have to deal with this. Like, how much time passed, and what kind of things, you know, attributed to this change of heart where it, you started looking at it in a positive way?
Yeah, so it was a week before I had my first conversation, which is the guy who I got it from. And in retrospect, I have no idea how I had a rational conversation that quickly. And then I told someone in real life. It took me about a month and a half to tell someone in real life. And then...
Like friends and family?
It was a guy that I had seen before. It was a partner that I'd slept with before. And then we were hanging out again, and I knew he was interested. And he was like, well, we've already had sex. Like, why don't you want to have sex anymore? Mm. And I went to his house the first time to tell him. Couldn't do it. I like backed out, went home. We didn't have sex, to be clear. And then the second time I went to his house again, I like got it out and I like pretended to be confident. My hand was like shaking under the blanket, but I'm like, nope, my voice is going to be even. We're going to stay. This is going to be chill. But yeah, it was about a month and a half before I told anyone in person. Okay, to answer your question, Joe, about like what triggered the change of heart, honestly, like it was rage and frustration because I joined online support groups and some people were great in there and they did help me, but there was a lot of depression in those online support groups. There was a lot of people giving really bad advice, like, don't worry, like, just accept it. Like, being alone isn't that bad. Or like, you know, like, you'll never find love, but like, there's so many other things in life. Or like, Jesus. You'll never have... No, like, I was enraged. And I was like, how can you fucking be saying this to like this person in their early 20s or any age really, but this person who's just started their sexual journey, they got herpes, and you're telling them to give up? You're telling them to stop dating and just accept it? Like, fuck you. Like, how dare you? I got like, I'm getting worked up now. I just got so angry. And I was like, no, that's not okay. People can't be living like this. People should not be depressed for 5 years over this. Like, it's a virus of the nervous system. Oh, like 80% of the population of the globe under 50 has some form of this. What the fuck are we doing here? And so like out of that rage, I was like, I'm going to make everything so easy to understand and so digestible and so relatable that no one will ever follow this shitty advice ever again.
I have a question too. Like in this journey that you've kind of gone through and now, you know, obviously you have this podcast and you talk about it a lot. What do you think was like the genesis of all this, the stigma behind this? Like, why was it? Because I remember when I was younger, just like hearing about herpes was like the worst thing in the world. Like before you knew what HIV was, you were like, oh, herpes is like the next worst thing. And like HIV is like fucking killing people, you know, like it was like, you know, so it's, I wonder, you know, what your opinion is on why, you know, herpes out of everything was the one that people chose to, you know, put this like horrible stigma on.
Yeah. Okay. So I did a whole episode on this. It's like my longest episode, but between the 60s and the 80s, I forget the exact year, but that's when HSV2 was discovered. And in that time period, it's also when antiviral medication became available for herpes. So there was a lot of fucked up journalism, specifically two main stories from Time magazine that just literally said like this is a virus for promiscuous people. They called it like the love disease or something like that. Don't quote me on that, but like used all this weird wording and like said it was, you got it from like traveling and being seduced by temptresses. Like it was just like so fucked, like all this journalism. But like I'll hand it to them, like you talk about sex, you use fear and you use a disease, like that's a journalistic recipe for a good story. Like I get it, but it's just, it was so inaccurate. And then when medication came out, which some people will say this is the whole fault of modern stigma, I disagree, it went in tandem. But when antiviral medication became available, the company, I forget what they're called, they started putting out ads for herpes and like making the general public aware of herpes. because before then, the medical community didn't care. They're like, yeah, it's herpes. It's fine. It's not going to affect you long term. The physical symptoms aren't bad at all. It's chill. But now they want to sell a medication. Mm-hmm. So they needed to like make people aware and like scared of herpes so that you would buy it. Because if you just let your symptoms chill, like I do now, you don't need their medication. And then also, like, lack of sex ed, which I know you guys have talked about, and like stupid jokes in the media. Like, it's not funny. I personally think it's lazy. There is a way to make good jokes about herpes. I don't think any topic should be off limits in comedy, but like, it's just cheap most of the time.
Yeah, I agree. Like, you know, the joke that everyone knows is like, oh, like herpes lasts forever. I like, it's some, in some capacity, people like getting that joke across, but like, you know, at this point, it's just like not, like you said, it's just not funny. Like, for people to be making like the same jokes over and over and over and over again, like, it's just not, you know. Because I agree with you. I think that you could like joke around about everything, but there are certain things where it's like, okay, clearly here there's just like a complete lack of education. And I don't know about anyone else, but whenever, you know, you try to make a joke about something, or, you know, or when I find out new information about something and I didn't know that, and it becomes very obvious that like, oh no, this is actually not as like crazy or demonized as people are like making it seem, like, it's embarrassing, and like, I don't want to feel like that. So, you know, I don't know, like you said, I think it goes back to people just being lazy and just making like a cheap joke for like whatever the case may be, and also people feeling invincible, like, this could never happen to me. But like you were saying, like, there's tons of people out there that have some form of herpes running through their body right now, so it's not like that crazy.
Yeah,
it's like something we have to unlearn. It, this is such a mystery to me, but there's things that like live in middle school, and it doesn't matter where, like in the country, if we're talking about America, like everyone at a certain age or a certain age range had like the same jokes or the same, you know, and like herpes was one of those things where it was just so easy to toss around as a joke, and then we just get filled with misinformation growing up and the stigma and the fear, and then you kind of don't unlearn it. Like, you don't have a lot of opportunities to learn the truth or hear from someone like you. So even as you become an adult, it just kind of stays in your mind as, oh, well, that's one of the worst things that could happen to me if I have unprotected sex.
I was going to say, I think a lot of that, it just comes from taboo topics, because something like herpes, where people don't or aren't like, you're shamed if you get it. So that prevents people from speaking out about it and being just like super forward and being like, yes, I have this, and just like loud and proud with this awareness and whatever. So the only times you really do talk about it is when a joke comes up. So when you hear something in middle school and you only hear it when a joke pops up, or so you go like 15 years without ever talking about herpes in any mm-hmm. sort of like educational or forward thinking way, then that's what you're like, you choose to believe is like what you know. So if all you know is these like jokes that were based off of nothing from a fucking 12-year-old, then like, you know, that's really all the information
it becomes your truth, essentially, which is crazy. But yeah, which is why it's so cool. I mean, the work that you're doing in the podcast, and I mean, I got fired up in the beginning when you said how this is one of the best things that ever happened to me. And I know we keep bringing it up, so why don't we kind of move to that point of the, you know, someone listening to this or watching this is probably just wondering how can this possibly improve someone's sex life?
Yeah, so it did, because I'm a much better communicator now. I'm much more vulnerable. And I know my own sexuality so much better than I ever did before. So like the three things I did to like help or make those improvements be a part of my life were like knowledge, learned everything I could about herpes, because I knew that if I was ever going to make someone else comfortable with it, that I had to be comfortable with it. I had to explain it calmly, casually, and also explain to them, hey, this is what I'm doing about it. This is what I take. This is how I take care of my body. Like, I'm doing the work. So whatever decision you want to make is cool with me. And like community, I'm, you know, I mentioned I got so mad at the first support groups, but like there's actually so many like funny Instagrammers and like sex educators and like Zoom meetings who like talk about this, and we share our experiences and our tips and our tricks. And like the thing other than online support, because that is cool, but also real life is way more important. So I started telling my friends. I told my mom, who is very religious, and I never thought I would tell her. I told my brother, and my brother had the best reaction ever. He was like, "So, doesn't everyone have herpes? Literally, who cares?" And that was great because that reminded me, like, okay, don't be so dramatic about it. My mom had questions. She was scared at first. She was like, "Oh no." I was like, "Well, that's dramatic, mother." But she asked if I was in pain. I was like, "Literally, no, mom." Yeah, and just explained everything to her. But the main thing was like solo sexuality. I got to know my own body like I never had before. Like, I got mirrors. I got all up in there. Like, I know the colors and the textures and what is normal and what isn't. And women don't do that. Like, in general, obviously there are exceptions, but most women I have talked to are like, "No, I've never like looked that closely at my own body, and I learned the correct names for my body." Like, why the fuck was I 27 years old and just learning the word vulva? Female genitals are called vulvas, not vaginas. Like, that's like calling your entire face your mouth. I bought a vibrator for the first time. I bought lube for the first time. Like, I started learning what I liked in bed and thinking about how I could express that to partners and not just go along with everything they wanted to do when they wanted to do it. I defined my boundaries around sexuality and I started expressing them confidently and casually. And, you know, if that didn't line up with another person, that's okay. It wasn't meant to be. And like, I took responsibility for my own pleasure. Like, we can't be out here blaming our partners for not pleasing us when we don't even know how to please ourselves. And it's something, again, like a lot of women, myself included, we learned way too late in my life. Like, why the fuck didn't sex ed talk about pleasure? Why wasn't I told that I'm responsible for that and that I can speak up? And like, the thing is, I never thought that I was like super passive in the bedroom at all. But now that I've unlearned all this fucking bullshit and stigma, I'm like, oh, I kind of was passive in the bedroom. And now I'm just like, if the sex is bad and we can't communicate about it, then like, why would I want to have sex with you? And I don't want to have sex with people that don't know I have herpes. I always tell everyone, and people are like, "Oh yeah, you should do that for other people, of course." In my head, I'm like, no, to be clear, I tell other people I have herpes out of selfishness because I want to have good sex. And if I'm in my head like, "Oh god, I didn't tell them, am I a bad person?" No, it's okay. Like, if I'm doing that in my head, I'm not going to be able to focus on sex. And I want to have good sex, and I can't do that if I don't tell them. So
yeah, I think this all kind of stems from this like very old idea about like, you know, just women in general. Like, it kind of goes back to women being like in the kitchen raising the kids and like nothing else. And it kind of goes back to that where it's like, don't talk about sex, don't talk about, you know, vaginas or anything like your body or anything like that. And, you know, sex education was more so just like the medical part of it, of just like what dicks and vaginas are kind of like, what muscles make up, like, I don't know, whatever the hell it is. But it's like kind of useful information, like yeah, we know that, like, might be good to know the names of things, but also like the entire other part of it is you know, like you said, like the pleasure and these types of things. And I think like you said, it's I think it is important. And I feel like I used to feel like, you know, it's a little too early for, you know, certain ages to be learning certain things. But I don't know. I think, you know, when I'm really thinking about it right now, that, you know, probably should know earlier, because everyone that I know, for the most part, loses their virginity from anywhere from like 15 to like 21. Like, usually that's where it happens, at least for the people that I know. And that's like super early. And I feel like I didn't, you know, at any point during that time, did not have sex with anyone where I was like, yeah, that went really well for the both of us. You know, it was just kind of like, it was just, I don't know. And I think it's because of this stigma around it, or like, I don't know. It's like more so, and the whole problem with porn obviously is like, it's very misogynistic, and it's like, this is for the guy and it's not really for the women for the most part. But yeah, I think that like, that's probably like the bigger issue, is that it's a very like old way of thinking of like, don't talk about sex, especially women. So you're never going to find out like what you're actually into, what's going to make your sex like the best. And also, you know, just to bring it full circle, learning about, you know, these, you know, about herpes, about gonorrhea, and like the effects, and like just breaking like down the stigmas, because like you said, like that was the classic thing also. It's like, are you clean? Yeah, I'm clean. All right, cool. But it's like, well, I'm not clean in the sense what you're saying, but I'm also not fucking dirty, you know? So it, I think it's the whole conversation. I kind of I know I'm like fucking rambling here, but I'm optimistic that as time goes on, people are more accepting in the conversations around sex and, you know, STDs, you know, it becomes more accepting. So hopefully that will be the case like in the future. And I think it's going to happen when we have people like you who are just kind of, you know, standing loudly and proudly and saying things that are, you know, to some shocking, of being like, no, actually getting herpes was like the best thing for me because it taught me a lot, you know?
Yeah. And it taught me about, not that I didn't know what vulnerability was before, but this is like, okay, you have to be vulnerable now because you have to tell people you have herpes. And the one thing that I always keep in mind when I'm telling people, like in a romantic or a sexual sense, is like, this is not just about me. This is a two-way conversation about sexual health, yours too. Yeah, I have something to tell you, but when was the last time you were tested? Do you even know what you were tested for? Like, what does safer sex and protection look like? Are we even into the same things? And I avoided getting chlamydia from someone who didn't know they had it in their throat because I chose to wait until we were both freshly tested for STIs before doing anything.
Wow.
But if I didn't have that two-way conversation, if I was like, oh my God, like I have to tell them I have herpes, this is all about me, I would have had chlamydia and probably not have known. And like, it's fine, it's easily curable, but like one STI is good enough for me.
For the uninformed person, you know, I think you've given a lot to, and I'm sure your show that people should check out, that if they find themselves in the position that you're in, to really understand how to navigate that journey. But for the uninformed person on the other side, maybe the person out there that would say, I would never sleep with someone who has an STI, or it's too dangerous, it's too risky. What is the reality of that? Like, what are the safety measures? And, you know, obviously this isn't like, people with any sort of STI shouldn't just get blacklisted from having sex, obviously. So what does that look like?
Yeah. So I think if someone tells you they have an STI, especially herpes, like we said, it's so stigmatized, but like, first of all, like, appreciate how fucking honest this person is being with you, because they're doing something for you that was probably never done for them. So just say thank you. And if you have questions, ask your questions. If you need time to process it, say, you know what, thank you for telling me, I need a little bit of time. And something I always do, like, I'm always like, if you have questions, whenever, if they come up later, if you have them now, ask me, because I have the answers. And if people need time, cool, I can send them resources. And just make an informed decision. You're allowed to say no to someone who has an STI. Of course you are. But just make it an educated no and a respectful no. And for the love of God, please do not ghost someone that tells you they have herpes, because they were just so vulnerable with you and you don't even have a backbone to say no. Like, we're allowed to say no. We're allowed to say yes. Just fucking say it and don't ghost.
Yeah. There's a total difference between, you know, declining and then just perpetuating the stigma and like making people feel like shit. You know, like, yeah, there's just a very distinct difference between those two things.
Yeah. And as far as like protection, so condoms, they greatly help. They don't eliminate the risk 100%. You can use dental dams. And I know people are weird about dental dams, which, fair enough, I was too. But those are great protective measures for oral sex, and they should be just as readily available as condoms are, and they're not, which is really annoying. But like, I've used them, and like, it was actually like such a sexy little experience, because I was like the teacher, and he, like, we weren't role playing or anything, but he was like, oh, I don't know what that is. And I find that, like, because it's who I date, like straight men in general, they want to be good at sex. So if you're like, hey, I know something about sex that you don't, they're like, well, I'm going to be good at it. And it's like, okay, go ahead and practice. Like, it's a win-win situation for me. But yeah, there are antiviral medications that you can take daily if you want to do that. I personally don't, because I don't have symptoms very often, and I don't want to take medication for something that I don't have symptoms for. But I do take vitamins, like when I'm sleeping with someone, like antiviral vitamins. I do use protection. If I'm not going to use protection with someone, it has to be 3 months since either of us have had any other sexual partners, so that we can get tested and we're out of the window period for all STIs. So yeah, protection, communication. I take vitamins because it makes me feel better. It's a virus of the nervous system. So if I get stressed out, like, stress is a trigger for me. If I can't handle my nervous system, if it's freaking out, there's a more likely chance that I'm going to be shedding, or that I might get an outbreak. So the vitamins, yes, they have a technical antiviral benefit, but it's also for my own peace of mind, so that I can keep my nervous system regulated. Yeah, and communication. If you feel like you're going to have an outbreak, fucking tell your partner and don't have sex. Like, and don't have sex on outbreaks, because then transmission is very likely. So don't do it.
Yeah, that makes sense. And while we have you, are there any other misconceptions or misinformation that you've come across, even if it's very specific or smaller details, things that people just tend to get wrong that you can kind of clear up?
Yeah. So there are two types of HSV, HSV1 and HSV2, and both of them can be genital herpes. Most people with cold sores got them as a child, and even if you don't currently have a cold sore and you go down on someone unprotected, you can give them genital herpes, and that genital herpes will be HSV1. People are like, oh, HSV1 is only cold sores. No, bitch. It can be genital herpes. Yeah, so that's a big one, and people are like, cold sores aren't herpes. I'm sorry, it is, and you're wrong if you think it's not. One thing, and it's funny because Greg, you've said STI, and Joe, you've said STD, and I was like, okay, mental note. So STI is the correct term, not STD. These are infections. They rarely turn into actual disease. What else? Herpes is not a skin condition. It does not live in your blood. Like I said, it's a virus of the nervous system. If you have HSV2, it's extremely unlikely you're ever going to get HSV1, and they present the same anyway, so it really doesn't fucking matter what type you have. It just, location is more important. But if you have HSV2, that's actually the more aggressive type. So it's extremely unlikely you would ever get HSV1, because your antibodies are already there to fight off the weaker type.
What is the difference between, I mean, if there is any difference between like a cold sore and what the general public knows as genital herpes?
It's the same virus. It's a different location. So, cold sore, it lives in something called the trigeminal nerve, which is sort of behind your cheekbone, and that's only connected to a certain area of your body, mainly your face, which is why cold sores will come up. Genital herpes, the virus lives in a different spot of your nerves. It's like at the base of your spine, and that is connected to your genitals and a little bit of your legs. So it's the same virus, it just lives somewhere else, and it has access to different parts of your body. Does that answer your question? Ask me to clarify if it didn't.
No, yeah, 100%. No, because I was just, you know, I feel like cold sores are more accepted. Like, you get a cold sore, it's like, oh, yeah, you put, like, a Breva on it, and it's like, whatever. And then genital herpes is just a complete different sort of thing. And people just, for whatever reason, I mean, and from what I've, you know, learned, you know, it's pretty much the same thing. And people always say that, like, it is a form of herpes. But for whatever reason, I feel like, you know, just going back to what we were saying before, that, like, is just unexplainable. Like, just something you learned when you were 12 years old. They are completely different. Like, we learned that. And I guess, you know, that's just one of the things that you just have to sort of unlearn, you know, as time goes on.
And it's actually, like, so funny to me when people, like, have discourse about it, because obviously you can have mild cold sores, but, like, the most recent cold sores I've seen on people, like, in the public and stuff, are actually, like, so much more extreme than symptoms I have when I have genital outbreaks. I have, like, a teeny tiny little bump or a teeny tiny little sore. It's annoying, but that's it, and then it goes away. I'm like, damn, that cold sore is huge. And whatever, it's fine if you have cold sores, but, like, it just goes back to, like, people being, like, scared of sexuality, and anything to do with sex is bad. So I think that's why it's
the fact it's the same thing and you can just stare it in the face and not think anything of it, but then just put it in a different location and it's the end of the world. That's really interesting. I want to confess something too, because you've been talking about vulnerability, and I think that's very important, which is, just like as a side note, just so interesting. That's a part of this you don't really think of at first, but for you to be put in that situation, that a lot of us don't ever have to be that vulnerable to just explain something about ourselves, knowing that we might be getting hit with judgment, you know, coming back. And that's a really interesting experience for you to, you know, kind of recognize and harness and understand that it has made you kind of a stronger and better person is really cool. But all I was going to say is, I didn't want to leave Joe under the bus. I was going to say STD, but I heard you say STI, so I said STI. So Joe, you're not alone. We're just vulnerable here.
I was so excited. I was like, Greg's going to be vulnerable. He's going to tell me that he has herpes.
It's like Greg's got herpes.
That would be a wild moment.
But, I do get cold. I get cold sores, though. I've gotten them for years.
Okay,
I don't get them all the time. Like, I think the last time I got one was like 2.5 years ago or something like that, but definitely have gotten one or two in my day.
Yeah. So you have herpes. You just don't have genital herpes. And
I'm herped up, guys.
You got can it. Give well, now someone left genital out. Herpes by going down on them. Greg, what are you doing? Get on the herpes train.
All right, Joe.
Greg, you're not having enough sex, dude.
No. Just we'll see what happens later, Jim, when I see you. But yeah, no. And where can people find your podcast exactly? Because it's just so cool, like we said before, that you have taken this to the extreme in a sense, where now this is part of your kind of daily, weekly routine, I imagine, where you're talking to people, putting out as much information as possible. Positively Positive is an awesome name too, and it just kind of encompasses, you know, everything that you're about. So I think that's awesome that you're doing that, and definitely want to make sure that people can check that out if they want.
I have two very quick things to say just about things that were mentioned many years ago on this podcast. HSV and HPV. So HSV is herpes simplex virus, herpes. They're two different things. Herpes does not cause genital warts. HPV does. Mm-hmm. And HPV is indeed the most common STI. But again, just like herpes, there is no HPV test for men. It's another thing that's not included in testing, and there's no way for men to know if they have it. Most people clear HPV within 2 years anyways, and it's gone. But my point was that herpes does not cause warts. And as well as for pregnancy, you can have a vaginal birth. Your doctor will put you on antivirals at some point in your pregnancy. And if you do have an outbreak at birth, you'll get a C-section. Because herpes is dangerous for infants, hence the medication. But having herpes is not an issue for birth or having kids.
Thank you for bringing that up. I know that's, even when we did that episode, a lot of people had commented about that or kind of asked to go into more detail. So that's super interesting. So you said it will not affect it unless you were having an outbreak at the time. That's really the only
Yeah, or even if you're nervous about it, then just get a C-section. That's fine. But that's why you have to tell your doctor that you have herpes, because then they're going to put you on antivirals at some point in your pregnancy, just to make sure nothing is happening vaginally at the time of birth. But yeah, on my last words, I know if anyone is like struggling with their diagnosis, if you're new, if you just got it, like I'm here to tell you, you will have sex again. You can have amazing sex. There's a little bit of work you got to do first to come to terms with it, but you're going to have sex again. People still want to fuck you. It's okay. And you're not alone. Do not carry this on your own. Just talk to people, go to therapy, tell your loved ones, and come find us online. Everything is going to be okay. If you want to hear more about herpes, my story, or my tips and tricks, like they said, just Google Positively Positive Podcast. I'm on Instagram. I have a website. It'll come up if you Google that, because I'm living positively positive and you can too.
I love it. I love it so much. And you, I know you're still going down the road of this journey, but from what you said, from that moment of rage where you want to make it your mission to just make this as accessible as possible for people, I mean, you're doing it. And just really awesome to not just see something with such a stigma attached to it not hold you back, but actually do the opposite, like propel you to do things maybe you never would have done, or discover things about yourself, or vulnerability, or just all around confidence. You know, you're exuding all those things, which is awesome. So just great job, really, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
No problem. Thanks so much for coming on.
Bye.
Have a good one.
Before we get to our final thoughts, we do have some sponsors for today. The first one being BetterHelp. BetterHelp is, you know, online therapy. So they will, you know, connect you with a professional therapist that you can start communicating with in just under 48 hours. So it's a pretty quick, you know, startup. They also make it very seamless to jump from therapist to therapist in case you feel like the current one that they assigned you isn't a good fit. You can always change and go to a different one. They have licensed professionals in all 50 states, and over a million people have signed up. You know, I've been doing therapy for the last 2 years. I think it's great. I think it's something that everyone should kind of explore, or at least try at some point. And what better way to do it with BetterHelp? And also, they make it easy. On top of all of that, because they're going to offer a 10% discount for people who listen to our show. So if you go to betterhelp.com/OPL, you'll get 10% off of your first month when you use BetterHelp, and just kind of test it out. You know, you can communicate with your therapist in whatever way you want, and kind of set up a schedule that is best for you. So again, that is betterhelp.com/OPL, and you'll get 10% off of your first month. And secondly, we have here is Etsy. Etsy is a site that I use all the time. You know, when you're buying gifts for others, you know, your choices impact lives in a big and small way, now and forever. Okay. And Etsy has pretty much everything that you can choose from. Like, there's home decor, there's jewelry, there's, you know, pretty much anything you could think of. Like, a lot of the shopping that I do this holiday season is going to be coming from Etsy, and it has in the past. I've decorated my apartment with a lot of stuff from Etsy. But yeah, Etsy is giving first-time shoppers 10% off a purchase of $35 or more with the code ETSYGIFT10. Again, that is ETSYGIFT10, spelled ETSYGIFT10. And yeah, so if you put that in, ETSYGIFT10, you get $10 off of a purchase of $35 or more. But yeah, go check out Etsy if you haven't heard of them already. I'd be shocked if you haven't, because it's a site that I've been using for years, very popular. And yeah, you can, you know, this season, this holiday season, that's where you should get most of your shopping done. All right. So, you know, they have everything you could possibly think of. A lot of it is handcrafted sometimes by certain people, and it's really cool stuff that you could even customize. So if you have a hard time thinking of gifts, for people, definitely go check out, Etsy. Again, if you go on Etsy, .com, use the code ETSYGIFT10, and you will get $10 off of a purchase of $35 or more with that code. The offer ends on December 31st, 2021. But yeah, definitely go check them out. They're great. And, you know, big fans of Etsy. All right, so go check them out.
We all love the holidays. We know it's one of the best times of the year. But for owners of online stores and businesses, you also know that it's the absolute craziest time of the year. You've got inventory to manage, customers to deal with, shipping to get done. But luckily, ShipStation makes all of that easier and takes the stress out of your business's shipping. So I've been using ShipStation personally for a number of my e-commerce businesses and businesses that I'm involved with and help run. And seriously, it's been an absolute lifesaver in terms of how easy it is to use, as well as the money that we've been able to save by using them. So if you sell anything online at all, whether it's your own site, Amazon, Etsy, you need to check out ShipStation. And I promise you, from personal experience, I can say that while switching your shipping solution might seem daunting, with ShipStation, it is absolutely not. It's so easy. And now is the time to start thinking about change. And ShipStation works with all major international and local carriers. So guys, seriously, if you own an online business or sell anything online, make this holiday season brighter by using ShipStation. Brighter and a lot easier, and save money. And right now you can use our offer code OPL to get a 60-day free trial, which is just enough time to handle the holiday rush. Also, insane offer. That's code OPL to get a 60-day free trial. All you have to do is go to shipstation.com, click the microphone at the top, and enter code OPL. So check that out. ShipStation. Make ship happen.
Well, we got that's how you get some education on herpes, you know. And that's kind of, you know, honestly what I was saying before is like truly how I feel about it, and that's why I love doing the show, because it is very educational. Like, I've learned a lot talking to these guests and people who are informed about their thing or whatever it is, and just like breaking these stigmas down. And I also love offering that information for, you know, these things as well, because like I said, with the taboo topics, like you talk about them and like you joke around about them and you snicker about them when you're 12 years old, and then you know, never really talk about them again and never in like a serious way. So when it does pop up and you have misconceptions, you have that information you could share with people, and they go, oh, okay, whatever, and they kind of take it with them, and that's how you get rid of the stigma. You know what I'm saying?
Awareness, that's what it takes, or else, yeah, you literally will die with this misinformation, thinking, you know, that to just be the truth. So really cool, like for something like that, I think awesome to have her on, someone who has the personal journey aspect but has now created community around this too, and just continues to research this, like has made this such a big part of her life, which is awesome. So definitely check out her podcast, Positively Positive, if you want to hear more from her, more about her story. I know, you know, we can only cover so much in an episode, but I think really just wanted to throw out kind of a ton of misconceptions, get those cleared up, and just to hear someone like that, like I said to her at the end, that can be so positive and that can look at something and say, this is the best thing that ever happened to me, that the average person would fear. I mean, with herpes specifically, like there's people out there who would think, I would rather die than get herpes, which is just ridiculous when you see that she can live the same exact life as everyone else.
It's just a lack of education. And I think it's time that, like, you know, we get rid of this fucking old way of thinking of like, don't talk about sex, don't do this and that, and blah, 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 blah. Like, come on, guys. Like, it's not 1920 anymore. You know what I mean? Like, let's talk about these things. Let's get out in the open and stop making everything so taboo and, you know, just weird. I don't know. Like, the better the communication, the better sex, by the way. So keep talking about it. Keep confessing shit to your partners.
I promise you, this woman with genital herpes that we just spoke to is having better sex than a lot of us.
Fucks hard.
Better than a lot of us. So... What do you have to say to that?
She's orgasming 10 times harder than everyone else, all right? And that's because of communication. So everyone out there has just got to communicate better, all right? But for anyone out there that wants to be a part of the show, don't hesitate to reach out to us. Go to our website, oplshow.com, or just send us an email directly at oplpodcast@gmail.com.
Check us out on Instagram at oplpodcast, Patreon at patreon.com/OPL show to support and get those bonus episodes. And don't forget, Joe and I put out a party game called Pay the Price. Had a Kickstarter for it, raised a bunch of money. Now we made it, and we think it's kind of one of the best games of all time. So head over to paythepricegame.com.
Yes, go check that out. And that is all. We'll see you guys next time.